Tonight is going to be more of a Wednesday night kind of a sermon. It's going to be more of a teaching kind of message. I've entitled it "Restoring Backsliders," but I also want to talk to all Christians because we all have the potential to get off the straight and narrow way. And we read those two verses. I want to read them again, and I want you to just pay attention, especially to the first word. It says, "Brethren." Brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, now we usually think of the word convert as leading somebody to Christ, of conversion, of being born again. But again, the first word of this verse is brethren, and so this verse is talking, or these verses are talking to Christians. It said, brethren, if any of you do err from the truth and one convert him, let him know that he which converteth the sinner from the error of his way. Now again, uses the word sinner, but again, this is talking to Christians. Converteth the sinner from the error of his way, shall save a soul from death. Again, not talking about the spiritual death that's connected with being a sinner out of Christ, but another kind of death that we'll talk about in a minute, and shall hide a multitude of sins. And so again, these verses are not written to the unconverted in Christ. They are written to brethren. It's talking about Christians, those that have received Jesus Christ as their Savior, those that have trusted Him for eternal life, those that have turned to the way, the truth, and the life, and let Jesus take care of their sins and make them right with God and give them a home in heaven. So if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus as your Savior, I'm not going to be speaking to you when I get to what I'm going to talk about, but I want to talk to you right now. There is only one way to heaven. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father but by Him. And if you're here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to get saved. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. And to put it off is, and Amy reminded me of something that I hadn't said for a while, but to not to decide is to decide. You can't walk out of here tonight and not decide. If you're not saved, you'll walk out deciding not to get saved. You will have decided to reject Christ and the salvation that He offers. You can't sit on the fence. You're either on one side or the other. And you will make that decision. So this verse, these verses, do not apply to the unconverted in Christ. They do not apply to hypocrites, those who say they are saved, those who act like Christians, those who act like they're born again, but have never received Christ. Because I would remind you tonight, it's not how we act that determines if we're saved or not. The Bible says, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." I think people ought to be good. I think they ought to do right. But if you're not saved, the fact that you're doing right will not get you into the gate of heaven. The fact that you're trying to live a clean, good, moral life will not open the gate of heaven for you. Again, Jesus is the only way to get into heaven. So, it's talking, these verses are talking to those that have been saved, that know Jesus as their Savior, and have turned away from Him and gotten off the path. Okay, so let me illustrate tonight. Harry, I need, if you could go over here and stand at the end of that aisle, just looking this way. And Brother Leonard, if you go over there and stand at the end of the aisle, look this way. All right? I want to paint a picture of you for you tonight of what the Christian life is all about. And I want to grab a couple pages here because I got some verses that I want to read in just a minute. So, and Brother Leonard, it's just the luck of the draw. You're going to represent the devil tonight, okay? So
the last time I was God. So.
The last time you were God, sort of evens out. Yeah. Okay, so you're going to represent the devil tonight. And Harry, you're going to represent Jesus tonight. Again, it's just the luck of the draw, okay? And so the devil is the father of all lies. He's a liar, and he'll lie to us. In fact, if you're here tonight, the devil's saying to you right now, hey, don't listen to the preacher. He's probably telling that to everybody. everybody, but especially to the unsaved. Don't listen to the preacher. You got plenty of time to get saved. You got plenty of time to give your life to Jesus. You don't need to do it tonight. The devil's lying to you. He's just lying to you. He'd like you to put it off forever and ever and ever and ever. So here is the devil. Here is the lies that he tells us, not only before we get saved, but all through our Christian life. All right? Now, over here is Jesus. The Bible, we quote that verse already, John chapter 14, verse 6. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Okay? And so everything about him is truth. There's nothing untrue, nothing half true. That's why the Bible says in Christ, it's not nay and yea, it's all yea, because it's all truth. All right, so here's what happens when we get saved. When we're lost, we're over here, we believe the lies of the devil, and we're headed to the same place that he is. We're headed to hell. But we meet Jesus, and we get saved, and we start on this this trek, this journey between where we are, just getting saved, to where God wants us to be. And this is a journey that doesn't happen overnight. I mean, God, I know there's some people that are miraculously changed when they get saved. But it doesn't happen overnight. Our Christianity, we get saved overnight. Now, again, let me make sure I'm saying this right. Getting saved is not a process. Getting saved is a instantaneous action. Once you ask Jesus to be your Savior, you're saved. That's not a process. But learning to live the Christian life and living the Christian life is a process. It happens a step at a time. And the objective in that Christian life is to become less and less like Satan and to become more and more like Jesus. I mean, that's the objective of the Christian life. And again, people all over this room are in different stages. I mean, some of us may be back here having just gotten saved or just beginning to walk the Christian life. Some of us have been saved for a while and maybe we're here. Some of us are older and been saved for a long time. And by the way, it's not a seniority thing. You could have been saved for a long time and still be back here. I mean, God just doesn't add up the years and say, okay, hey, he's been saved for 50 years and so he's more like Jesus. It doesn't work that way. It's how obedient we are to the Holy Spirit and how we stay on this straight and narrow way that God has lined out for us to become more and more like Jesus. But the objective is for us to become more and more and more like him. And so we're on this continuum somewhere between what we were before we got saved and what God wants us to be as a mature Christian. And so this verse says, brethren, if any of you err from the way. Now here's what it's talking about. God would like us to take this path as a straight line. He'd like us to take the path and not waver from the line from where we started to where he wants us to be. I mean, the Bible talks about it as a straight and narrow way. And I know that that verse has two meanings. I mean, there is only one gate to get on that straight and narrow way, and there is only one way to heaven. But once we get saved, God defines for us a straight and narrow way that he wants us to walk. And by the way, it's different for every person. You see, when I got saved, he had a plan for my life, and when Bob got saved, he had a different plan for Bob's life. It's the same thing. I mean, it's taken us from where we are to become more like Jesus Christ, but it's different for each one of us. All right? Not the same, different for each one of us. And what God wants us to do is walk that plan in a straight line from where we were to where he wants us to be. Now, we err from the way when we get off of that line and turn. I mean, some of us can get off of it just a little bit. Some of us, I mean, really get off of it and we get way off of it. And that's what these verses are talking to. To Christians that are walking this plan of life that God has for them. And again, God's desire is for us to walk in that straight line, but we turn. And we walk away from the straight line. We get off the path. I mean, maybe even some of us turn around and face the other direction, and we're walking in the other direction. It happens. But that's why the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto the author and finisher of our faith. Huh? Hey, who's going to be more apt to stay on the path? Those that are looking around like this, or those that are looking to where they want to get? Every time I take Aaron somewhere, he has to see everything. I mean, he's just looking. He's going like this, he's going like this. He just wants to see everything. Some of us live our Christian lives like that. I mean, here's the world all around us. This verse says, hey, lay aside the weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and keep your eyes on Jesus. When we start looking around, we see everything around us, and we're more apt to get off the path and get off that straight line that God wants us to walk. You remember when Peter was walking on water? As long as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was okay. When he took his eyes off Jesus, he saw the wind and he saw the waves, and he began to sink. And he had to cry out, Lord, save me. And if he would have just kept his eyes off on Jesus, it helps us keep our eyes off the storms, keep our eyes off the waves, help us stay on that straight and narrow way that God has for each one of us to walk. That's why the Bible says in 2 Peter 3:18, but grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How do I learn more about him? The closer I get, the more I can see him, and the more that I know him, and the more that I grow in the knowledge of him. That's what God wants me to do. That's what God wants you to do. And so as we keep our eyes on him, and as we get closer to him, as we walk this path, we learn more about him. That's why Philippians chapter 3 says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. Paul was saying, I haven't got there yet. He said, you know, at the end of his life, he says, I've finished my course. I've run the race. I'm just about there. But when he wrote the book of Philippians, he says, I haven't apprehended yet. I haven't got there yet. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. You know what will happen to us if we keep remembering, like, you know, remember Terry's testimony. I got a lot of comments about Terry's testimony about being a fun sinner, how fun it was being a sinner. A happy sinner, yeah, happy sinner. Well, he said, and he told me tonight, he said, well, preacher, I got that from you. I said, oh, well, that's okay. But who is more apt to turn around and go back the other way? Those who do like this verse and say, forget those things which are behind, or those who want to keep remembering how happy they were as a sinner? I tell you who's more apt to turn around, the latter. Those who keep remembering what a happy, quote and unhappy, quote and unquote happy time they had as a sinner. Now, I'll tell you, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, there's a lot more happiness facing this direction than there is that direction. Because the happiness the world has to offer doesn't last. It's built on empty promises. It's built on the lies of Satan. It's built on things that don't last. But the happiness that we have in Jesus Christ is built on the truth, and it lasts forever. And so we just need to keep moving in this direction, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so if I'm doing what God wants me to do, again, I'm on this path. It's a different path for all of us, and we're all at different places on our path. But God wants all of us to walk in that straight line, to be more like Jesus, to be more what he wants us to be. And these verses are written to people that turn off that path, that turn back, that turn to the left, that turn to the right, that get off the path that God has for them. Are they still saved? Yes, they're still saved. I mean, when I ask Jesus to be my Savior, I'm as saved as I'm ever going to be. Right, Brother Leonard? I mean, I'm on my way to heaven. There's nothing Satan can do or anybody else that can separate me from the love of God, that, like it talks about in Romans chapter 8. I am saved, 100% saved, on my way to heaven. And even though I get off the path, even though I get off the path a lot, I am still saved, still on my way to heaven. But I have erred from the truth. He is the truth. And when I turn away from him, I have turned from the truth. I have erred from the truth. And I have my ship, my life, pointed in a direction that God doesn't want me to go, in a direction that is not true. So somebody needs to help me get back on the path. And in these two verses in James, that's what James is talking about. Those that convert one from the error from the truth, he converteth the sinner from the error of his ways, shall save a soul from death, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Now again, I'm going to talk about those in a minute. Okay, thank you guys. You can sit down. Now, so tonight I want to make 3 points. Talking to every Christian that's here. Number one, it is possible for you to backslide. It is possible for you to err from the truth. It is possible for you to turn away from this straight and narrow path that God has for us to walk. No one here is above it. I mean, if Peter can backslide, so can I. If David can backslide, a man after God's own heart, so can I. If Moses, the servant of God, can backslide, so can I. If Paul can backslide, so can I. And there's just, and that's why one of the reasons God puts the stories of these men and women in the Bible, so that we can learn from them. If they can backslide, if they can get off that path, if they can err from the truth, so can I, and so can you. Now, 3 reasons that happens. Now, don't get confused in my points. I got 3 points, but I got 3 points for the first point. So when I get done with these first 3 points, don't clap your hand and say, okay, man, it's only 10 till and we're done. We're going to go home. I don't want you to get excited prematurely. But 3 things happen. First of all, we backslide because we don't understand the requirements of discipleship. We don't understand what discipleship is all about. Discipleship, and again, can you guys stand back up for a second? I'm sorry. I need to make this point, then I'll let you sit down. Discipleship is walking this path. And I said it was a straight and narrow way. But you know what happens to the path as I leave here and I get closer over there? You know what happens? It gets narrower. You said, preacher, I thought it was a straight and narrow path. Yeah, it is. But the closer I get to Christ, it gets narrower. In other words, the more that I am like him, that path that gets narrower and narrower and narrower. And so the Christian that's closest to him has got to be more careful than the one back here, because the path that he steps outside of is narrower than the one back here when somebody first got saved. Is everybody with me? I mean, shake your head if you're with me. All right. Whose is that rattling? Oh, never mind. All right, so look, the path gets narrower. And you say, well, that shouldn't be. Well, yes, it is. That's what discipline is all about. That's what learning to grow in Christ is. I mean, as I get more closer and closer to him, God sort of moves the walls closer and closer and closer, because the closer I get, the more I'm becoming like Christ, and the more I'm like Christ, the narrower is the path that I'm called upon to walk. You say, well, that doesn't seem right. I'll tell you something. The closer you get to him, the more it doesn't matter to you. It doesn't matter. Because the closer you get to him, as you make this journey, you've learned to take your eyes off the things that are around you, and you've learned to keep your eyes on Jesus. I know people that live their Christian lives, and they say, I have to give up so much. You know what? I haven't had to give up one thing. There's some things that God's taken out of my life that I've been happy he's taken out of my life, and there's still some things that are in my life that I'll be glad when he takes them out, but I haven't missed a thing that he's taken away. And the things that he's put in to replace the things that he's taken away are so much better than the things I had. I just keep saying, come on, take the rest of them and give me the rest of what you got for me. And so we misunderstand discipleship. That's why we can backslide. We misunderstand that God is making the path narrower and narrower as I get closer to Jesus, because in order to be more like him, I've got to walk a more narrow way. And because, look, there is no turning with him. There is no variableness with him. I mean, you talk about something that is fixed, that has not changed. It is the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. There's no stepping out of the path. He didn't do it while he was here on earth. He didn't do it before he came to earth, and he hasn't done it since he went back to heaven. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And the more I become like him, the narrower my path is that I walk. And so we err from the truth because we don't understand that that's what discipleship is all about. Okay, now I think I'm done. You guys can sit down. So that's one reason we err from the truth. A second reason we err from the truth is because we get the attitude, it can never happen to me. It can never happen to me. I've got my eyes on Jesus. I'm walking this path, and I'm going to keep my eyes on him, and I'll never step over the line. I'll never get off the path. It just can't happen to me. Sounds a little bit like pride. And the Bible's still true. Pride goeth before the fall. And if we think that it can't happen to us, and by the way, that's one of the things that Satan tells us. Oh, you're such a good Christian. You don't need to worry about that stuff. You're going to stay on that path. Be careful. Be careful. I'm sure when David was up on that roof that night, in a place where he shouldn't have been, seeing something that he shouldn't have saw, that he didn't think anything could happen to him. He was the king. He was a man after God's own heart. He was the writer of most of the Psalms. God had already used him in a mighty way to kill Goliath. He was the king of God's people. And David, I'm sure he thought, well, nothing can happen to me, but it did. And it can happen to us if we're not careful. And then the reason that we err from the truth is we don't take advantage of what God has given us. And here's what I mean by that. We don't spend our time in this book. Where more to find out what Jesus is about? Where's a better place to find out how we become more like him than in the book that he wrote and the book that he is? Where better? Where better to help to find somebody to help you stay on that narrow way than by coming to Sunday school and church in the morning and church at night and prayer meeting on Wednesday night? Where better? Say, well, I don't like to come to Sunday school and I don't like to come on Wednesday night. Well, okay, that's fine. But you're losing 50% of the opportunities that God has to speak up to you. You ever think about that? Don't come to Sunday school. Don't come. I mean, we only have 4 services a week. And if you don't come to 2 of them, God is losing half, and you are losing half the chances that he has to talk to you about staying on that straight and narrow way. All right? And so we don't use the things that God's given us to help stand. We don't use the Bible. We don't use the services. We don't use the fellowship that is in this place. And I'm going to talk about this in my next point. But you know, God has put people in our lives in this place to watch out for so that we can stay on that narrow way that he wants us to walk. And when we separate ourselves from those people, and when we don't listen to those people, or when we get offended when those people try to come to us and help us, then we're ignoring and we're not taking advantage of the things that God puts in our life to help us stay on that path. And again, I'm not talking about losing your salvation. I'm talking about becoming more like Christ. And to err from the way is to get off of that path, to get off of that line, and to, you know, chase something that we shouldn't be chasing. And we waste time and we waste opportunities to become more like Him. And so, it's possible for every single one of us to backslide. Number two, so this is my second point. Second of the three before you get out of here tonight. The Christian's duty, our duty, is to watch out for one another. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 4, the Bible says, "Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others." I'm supposed to watch my walk, but I have a responsibility to do, not as your pastor, but as a fellow Christian. I have responsibilities as a pastor as well, but I'm just talking, I'm putting myself in your place tonight. We all have the responsibility not only to watch our own walk, but to watch the walk of others. The only way that I can convert someone that has erred from the truth is to have my eye on them and see when they have left that truth. And the same is true for you. The only way that you can help somebody that has erred from the truth is have your eye on them so that you see them leave. Now, again, I want to be very clear. You do not have your eye on them so that you can criticize them when they go into sin. That is not the reason. And too many Christians do that. We put our eye on people, and then when they fall, say, "I knew he wasn't going to make it. I knew that was going to happen. I could see it coming." That's not what this verse is talking about. This verse is talking about like a father and a mother does to their children. A mom and a dad does not keep their eye on their children so that when their children break the rules, they can laugh and say, "Hey, I knew they were going to do it." A mom and a dad keeps their eye on their children and corrects them when they err because they love them and want them to turn out right. Huh? That's what a mom and dad does to their children. They love them and they correct them for erring, for getting out of the straight and narrow path that God wants them to walk, because they want them to turn out right. And if we have the same motivation to fellow Christians, then we are embodying what God wants us to do in this verse. We want them to turn out right because we love them, and we see them step over the line and get out of the way. Then we go to them and we convert them. And that word convert means, Harry, stand up for a minute. That word convert means that I help them to turn. So come over here. So let's back up a little bit. All right. So we got to get you properly orientated here, okay? So Harry's walking in that direction. He turns out of the way. When I convert him, I help him to turn back and get on this path and walk in that direction. That's what it means. Thanks, Harry. That's what it means to convert. It's not that we're going to save them all over again. They don't need to be saved all over again. They just need to be pointed out, not in a critical standpoint, but in a way that they know that you love them and that you want them to turn out right, regardless of how old they are, how long they've been a Christian. And when you see them get out of the path, you convert them and help them get back on that path. Now, what does that verse mean when it says, save a soul from death? It's not talking about spiritual death. It's talking about physical death. And the chapter that I read when we have the Lord's Supper every month is from 1 Corinthians 11. And there's a verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 that says this. It's talking about not taking the Lord's Supper unworthily with known sin in our life. And it says, "For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep." They die. And so what this verse is saying about is we convert one that has erred, we are saving them from death, not spiritual death, but we are saving them from a physical death before God is ready to take them. You mean God doesn't take them? Yeah, God takes them. When a person gets so, if this is the path, when a person gets so far off the path And people and the Holy Spirit convict them and try to get them back on the path. And the person says, no, 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 no. I like it too much off the path. God takes them before his plan was to take them. I think there are Christians that die prematurely. There are Christians that die before God wants them to die, because they have erred from the truth. They've gotten off that path. God's done everything he knows to do to get them back. He says, okay, come on home. Come on home. I'm going to take you. I got to hurry. So, our duty is to watch one another. Number three, restoring a backslider is part, the noble part, a noble part of a Christian's work. One of the greatest privileges we have as Christians is to lead somebody else to Jesus Christ, to take the gospel and show them that they're a sinner and that Jesus died to pay for their sins. And if they'd simply come and receive Christ, he'll save them. Give them a home in heaven. If you've never done that, you just don't know the joy that comes from doing that. It's a wonderful, wonderful joy to be able to share the gospel with somebody and see them get saved. But you know what? It's also a wonderful joy to see somebody that's gotten off this path, has erred from the truth, and to be able to go to that person and help them get back on that path to being what Jesus wants them to be. It's a wonderful thing. It's a wonderful thing. And God wants us to do that just as much as he wants us to tell people about Jesus and help them get saved in the first place. One more thing, then I'll quit. The last part of that verse says, and shall hide a multitude of sins. Shall hide a multitude of sins. Here's what happens. When a Christian's walking this way and they err from the truth, people all around them look at them, and I've heard one person say this, I've heard 100 people say this. They point to a person like that and they say, if that's what a Christian's all about, I don't want any part of it. Don't want any part of it. And a person that turns from the truth does a great disservice to the kingdom of God. And when we convert that person and get them turned back on that path, God says, we hide a multitude of sins. Because the world doesn't see that Christian that's wandering off the path. They see that Christian that's walking that straight and narrow way, becoming more like Jesus every day. So, God wants us to walk on this path. We need to be concerned about our walk. We also need to keep our eye out for those we love, for those we want to turn out right and to be more like Jesus than they are today. We need to keep our eye on them. And when we see them turn away, like a parent does to a child, gently, lovingly, with the purpose of not criticizing, not ostracizing, but to get them back on that path, we point out the error of their way. Oh, and by the way, I didn't mention it tonight, and it goes without saying, when a Christian gets off this path, the first one that's talking to them is the Holy Spirit of God. I mean, before man even notices, because the Holy Spirit of God knows when our thoughts get off track. And usually it's our thoughts that get off track before our person gets off track. And the Holy Spirit of God is already dealing with that person before one of us get the opportunity to step in. But when we see somebody stepping off the path, the Holy Spirit's working on them, and we, and again, in a loving way, whose purpose is to get them on that path, need to convert them from the error. Save them, perhaps, from a premature death, and cover a multitude of sins that the world will never see because a Christian's still on the straight and narrow way. So, it's a noble work. It's a work that all of us should do. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for tonight, for letting us be here. Thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the truth that's in it, and thank you that it tells us how we need to order our life day by day, moment by moment. And I pray tonight, if there's somebody here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, tonight would be the night they realize they're a sinner. Tonight would be a night they see the penalty for that sin. Tonight would be the night they'd see what Jesus did for them on Calvary. And tonight they would come and receive what Christ offers freely to every person, the gift of salvation. And then, Father, I pray for the many Christians that are here. Help us, first of all, to stay on the path that you've given us to walk, on that plan for our life. Help us to stay right in the center of it, the center of your will. Help us to become more like Jesus every single day. And then, Father, remind us of the responsibility that we have to those around us. As we watch out for them, as we care for them, as we love them, Father, as you give us opportunity, help us to convert those that have erred from the way to get back on that path. Just bless the invitation tonight. Use it as you see fit. We'll give Jesus all the glory. For it's in his name we pray. Amen.